What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
It's so much fun as we, you know, and I had this darn cold, right? And so I didn't get out and see everybody, all the open houses and events. And so I was calling and texting back friends and family, Happy Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day. And the truth is, and that's such a great and appropriate song that Dan just played, because you think about the fact that when you become a parent, in general, when you become a parent, you think to yourself, what did I do with my life? What did I even do with my time? I don't even know what I did. And especially for motherhood, over the years, you think about your kids and define yourself by all of the ages and all of the stages. And it's such a wonderful, it's such a wonderful, empowering feeling to be a mom. So for all of you, I hope you had a blessed, wonderful Mother's Day. And I hope that you're not just celebrated, you know, on Sunday, Mother's Day. I know you're not. But my next guest, and this caught Dan Borowski, our great executive producer's eye, Broad and Liberty, and Beth Ann Rossica wrote Motherhood, The Thrill of Victory and the Agony of Defeat. Just beautifully written about your journey, Beth Ann Rossica, as you think about becoming a mom, all the advice you get, everything. Oh, remember that? The first time you're trying to breastfeed, and the first time you feel the pitter-patter, see the pitter-patter, and they're walking, and all those ages and stages. But we just wanted to say to you, hope you had a happy Mother's Day, Beth Ann Rossica, and thanks for being here live this morning.
Sorry that you were under the weather and not able to enjoy the day fully.
But it was still great. They brought me breakfast in bed and flowers and, you know, neat cards. And sometimes we wait for these days, like Mother's Day or Father's Day or a holiday, to express some of those feelings that we should probably express more often. But at some point you talk about all these warm, fuzzy feelings, and then you say, you know, that you thought that your happiness would be contingent on your child. Boy, was I wrong. You kind of take us for a turn there. So take me through it, and as far as why you think you were wrong.
Well, so it was interesting, because I was reflecting back to when I was pregnant, and for your listeners that don't know, I'm a late in life mom. So I was 39 when I was pregnant the first time, you know, had lived a pretty full life up to that point, had a successful career. My husband and I were pretty comfortable financially, working full time. And we decided that we wanted to have kids, even at that late point in life. And, you know, like, I knew my life was going to change, but you never really fully understand how much your life is going to change until that little baby is in your arms and you're fully responsible for this human being, this human little life. And I remember getting lots of advice, as you said, you know, whether it was about breastfeeding or sleeping or the schedule. But this one mom that I worked with said to me, when your kids are happy, you're happy. And I thought, well, that seems just crazy. I'm 39 years old. I am perfectly capable of creating my own happiness and responsible for my own happiness. And what I realized was, once my kids were born, she was so right. She was so right. And the things that, you know, I thought were important, whether it was negotiating a contract or solving a problem at work, they all sort of paled in comparison to, you know, trying to help my kids solve their problems or help them work through something. Motherhood is a very, very humbling experience. And it really is true that, you know, when your kids are happy, you're in a good place. And when your kids are struggling or unhappy, it's really tough to watch that as a mom. Like, that's, I think, the worst part of motherhood, is watching your kids be unhappy or upset or struggling and not being able to necessarily help them. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to write about that, because I that friend of mine, it's funny, because I haven't I haven't really been in touch with her for a number of years. She retired a while ago, but I did send her the article and thanked her for the inspiration. And it was funny because she said that she didn't even remember giving me that advice.
I
said, well, see, you just never know. You know, you never know what you're going to say that's going to resonate for somebody so strongly.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, and another thing that you wrote that I love that I think is absolutely true is that what you're talking about here seems to be related more to most moms than dads. And I love that you, in the way that you wrote it, Beth Ann, is perfect because you said not to say that fathers don't love and care equally for their children, but there is something about, I will say, all moms, doesn't matter who you are, we're all in this mom club where it's true that if our kids are doing great and they're happy and fulfilled and all of that, we're happy. And there is that connection that I think it's a different kind of a thing with dads.
No, I absolutely think so. And 100% that was not meant to disparage dads at all.
No.
I couldn't be the mom that I am without my husband being the dad that he is. So I am 100% on board and respectful and support every dad out there because we need you. I think what I was trying to talk about was this. I think there is this biological connection that is different for moms than it is for dads. You know, we're the ones that feel the first little flutter, you know, when that baby starts to kick inside your womb. We're the ones that know that something's going on with our body. We're the ones that have to watch what we eat and watch what we drink and pay attention to everything we put in our body because we are biologically sustaining that life. And I do think that because of that, that emotional connection, that emotional attachment does start sooner for moms. And I think that it does connect us differently than it does with dads. And I think that that's something to be celebrated. And I talked about that in the piece is that, you know, we should revere and honor women and mothers for this miracle that we're able to create. We take this for granted, you know, all the time, but women are the only humans on this earth that can give birth, that can give life, they can, through their body, they can feed and nourish that baby, you know, for up to a year, up to 2 years. I mean, so it really, I think, is so important for us to recognize that. And I wanted to write about that this Mother's Day.
Yeah, it was beautifully written. And in part, I can't help but think there's this old, you know, ancient proverb that says, you know, educate a girl and you educate the entire community or the entire village. And I can't help but go there and say, it's why in some ways when we see, you know, education being impacted and the issues that impact us that awakened a lot of parents, but especially suburban moms, I think that this is all interconnected. Our instincts, and some of this is really primitive stuff, but the fact that we knew that our girls, like in sports, for example, being challenged as what is a girl, what is a woman, who should play against our girls or be in their bathroom or their locker room, or even some of the narratives that have happened, just seemed to me personally to be anti-girl and anti-women instead of just allowing us to be celebrated and be who we are.
No, I absolutely agree, Dawn. And that's, you know, sort of how I wrap up the article is that, you know, this is why I find it so offensive when people, you know, refer to, you know, women as, you know, birthing person, or we talk about breastfeeding as chest feeding. I mean, these terms are so derogatory to women. We are the ones that have the burden of giving birth and the joy of giving birth. These are not mutually exclusive things. It's a lot of work for 9 months to you know, think about somebody other than yourself in your body every single day. Talk about, you know, even at a young age, girls have to deal with their menstrual cycle. There are biological issues that girls and women are forced to deal with, that mm-hmm. some of them are wonderful and some of them mm-hmm. are painful and uncomfortable. Yeah. But this is what we bear. And to take away the naming of who we are and celebrating our uniqueness, and to pretend that a biological man can actually be a woman, is just insulting. And, mm-hmm. and I find it very, very offensive.
Yeah.
And I think that you're right. This issue, like so many others during, you know, school closures, really started to come to a head. And that's why I thought it was really important to write about it. This is not about disparaging, you know, adult men who, you know, want to dress as women or be called Sally instead of Sam. I could care less.
Yeah.
I'll call you who you want to be called. It doesn't matter to me. But to pretend that we can change biology and to denigrate the wonder of who women biologically and emotionally are is just not fair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I felt like I really wanted to write about that, to remind everyone that we need to just use the words that we have been meant to use. Mm-hmm. Until some biological man can, you know, menstruate and give birth and breastfeed, we are not changing these terms. And I think that it's incumbent on all of us to push back and say, no, this mm-hmm. is not chest feeding. Even La Leche, the group that helps women breastfeed, they changed all of their verbiage to chest feeding.
Yes.
And I thought, you people have lost your mind. There's only one person. There's only one person that can breastfeed their baby, and that's their biological mom. And that's the truth. And you may not like it. I can't help you there. This is biology. This is science. So let's not pretend that this is something that it's not. And let's really honor women this year and honor moms this year by describing things as they actually are.
Amen. It's the truth. And I didn't even mention, you know, and that's why I was careful to say it's a celebration of women and girls and our uniqueness and what makes us special. And so it's not about banning anybody else or, you know, you be you, whatever you want to be. But you're right that there was this attempt even into a code and even into our government wordage, if you will, and the courts to reword things that at the end of the day disrespect us for who we are.
Exactly. And we're 50% of the population. I mean, the reality is that the transgender population is a very, very small percentage of our population. And again, while I am in no attempt trying to disparage mm-hmm. or yeah. take away anything from that group of people, but what's happened is that in an effort to give transgender people certain rights or to make them feel better or to make them, you know, more sympathetic, we've actually taken away rights, mm-hmm. constitutional rights from 50% of our population. And that's not equality. That's not right. And so I think it's really important in a nice way. I'm not being disparaging towards anybody else, but you're actually harming us. You're harming women. You're harming girls. And we really need to bring that to an end.
Amen, sister. Beth Ann Rossica, until next time, thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Have a great day. Take care.
You too. Take care.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.